came to the house of God, you got some special need this morning. Probably every one of us do. We all have needs, but I want you to know the Lord Jesus is able to meet every and any need you have this morning. I believe that with all my heart. There's no doubt about it. He can meet the deepest need. If you'll let Him today, you will go away rejoicing, saying, "Thank God it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord." I was recently reading an article that was stating about priorities and needs of people. And this particular article stated that the average person now stating their priorities and their needs, number one, according to this survey, latest survey, was family. Family needs was number one. Financial needs was number two. And interesting to note, recreation and health needs was three and four. But what was really interesting about this survey was the fact that 15 years ago, the priorities and needs were listed in this particular sequence. First, family. Second, not only family, but finances. And then thirdly was faith. Faith was an important element in the life of people 15 years ago. But for some reason or another, it seems like our spiritual development has gone by the wayside. But I want you to know that faith is an important need. Faith in Jesus is an important need in every single person's heart, and those here today. And speaking of needs and being wanted, how many of you got a cell phone? Let me see your hand. You've got a cell phone. I've noticed that a lot of people say, "I'll never have a cell phone." They've got one now. And even a lot of the senior adults that say, "Well, I'm not into all of that now. The way of communication is just the way it is." I'll tell you, it's just amazing. Do you know what? Yesterday, speaking of needs, I've got a text message yesterday that said, "Hey, girly, how you doing?" Somebody sent me a text message. Number one, I'm not a girl. Number two, I'm not your girly. Number three, I'm doing fine. Amen. I didn't send them back a text message, but I couldn't believe it. "Hey, girly, how you doing?" But at any rate, we all have needs, and we all have spiritual needs. There's no doubt that the Lord is able to meet in your life today. I want you to know, if you'll do what God tells you to do today, you will leave this place happy and blessed. If you'll do what God tells you to do today. Now, how many of you already are thinking about, "I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm going to follow through what you tell me to do today." If you do, I'll guarantee you, you will be glad and you will be happy and blessed that you've been to church today for the glory of our living God. Are you going to obey God? Are you going to do what God tells you to do? Today, I want to take a passage of Scripture that the Lord has led me to preach from about three times over the last 21 years here at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. And yet, the Lord had birthed some things in this passage of Scripture in my heart that I've not quite seen as clearly as today. I really can relate to this particular passage, and I dare say that many of us, Brother Sonny included, can relate to this particular passage of Scripture. And I don't know about you, but I can certainly relate to the experience of living in sin and disobeying God and wanting to do my own thing and until the Lord rescued me, and I praise God that He did it. And not only can I relate to this character in the story, but I can also relate to the other mention of a personality, and that is from a father's perspective or a parent's perspective. And I'm saying that to ask you to turn in your Bibles to that one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Gospels, and it's found in Luke 15. Many of you can say this account by heart, but I believe God's got some things to share with us this morning that maybe that'll be a blessing to you. As I begin to think and pray about those top priorities, the Lord began to burst some things in my mind, in my heart. So look at Luke 15 and stand with me as we read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant, unbreakable, eternal Word of God. Luke chapter 15, this is God's lost and found department, obviously. And Jesus is talking about the lost sheep. He's talking about a lost silver. And now he comes to what is termed the prodigal son, the lost son. There's some practical nuggets of truth contained in this passage that I think God is going to encourage our heart today. If you're in Luke 15, we began reading in verse 11. If you're in Luke 15, 11, would you say amen? And Jesus said, and there was a certain man that had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portions of good that follow to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together that he had and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose. And he came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to call thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray again together. Father, I love you. I praise you for your great love for me. Thank you, precious Jesus. You got me out of the hog pen. Lord, Lord, it just blesses my heart to think how you came looking for me, how you, Lord, reached down in the muck and the mire of sin and rebellion and disobedience, and oh God, brought me up out of the horrible pit and planted my feet on the solid rock. I thank you so much, my Lord. I can't even, Lord, bring words together to tell you how grateful, Father, I am, and how thankful I am for changing my heart and giving me, Lord, a new relationship with you. And we just ask now, as you, Lord, get our total attention, I pray for all distractions to be removed. Any and all things that are preoccupying our mind about yesterday, about tomorrow, about today, I pray, Spirit of the living God, you'll just come in a special way. We know you're already in us, but then there's that outward manifestation of your presence. And I'm asking now, Father, save every lost man or woman or boy or girl that's in this place. Bring them to real, genuine repentance, saving faith in you, Jesus. And then, Father, there's probably a lot of your people, Lord, today that are, Father, facing some kind of need. And I pray, God, for your glory. You'll break through and you'll draw us. And, Lord, you'll help us to do exactly what you tell us to do. You know us, you made us, you bought us. And so, Father, have your will, have your way with us. Thank you now for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we just yield to you now and pray for the fresh wind and fresh fire and fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Do cleanse us, please, Father, now. Cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our attitudes, cleanse us of every and any sins, Lord. And give us clean hands and pure heart. Thank you now for victory. Thank you now again for the cross, your word, and your promises. And we look to you now. If anything's going to be done, Lord, you've got to do it. We ask you to do it. We pray you'll do it, and we thank you now for changing hearts, saving souls, and the word of God going forth, the sharp two-edged sword. We ask you to get glory and honor. Thank you for the songs we've sung today. Thank you for those that are gathered. Now, Lord, I know there's a number of needs here today. We pray, God, you lift heavy burdens, you'll tear down every stronghold, and Father God, that you'll Help us to get in a rightful relationship with you today. We thank you for it and praise you, Jesus, because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. There are four needs that the Lord spoke to my heart about in this particular passage of Scripture. Four of them. You ready for them? Number one, family troubles. How many got family troubles? Let me see your hand. Come on. You are the ones that aren't raising your hand. You're not telling the truth. You got family problems. We all have family problems. Matter of fact, I don't know of a family today that doesn't have some kind of issues. There's no such thing as a perfect family, and there's no such thing as a perfect church. That we all have issues. We all have family needs, and thank God we can come to the Lord and lay our burden at the Lord's feet and let Him take care of it. There's family problems, number one. Family troubles, number one. Secondly, there are financial trials. Financial trials. How many of you got some kind of financial trial you're going through at the present time? How many got somebody in your family that's going through some kind of financial difficulty? And there are not only family troubles and financial trials. Number three, there are faith tests. Faith's test. T-E-S-T. Faith's test. Our faith is always being tested. How many of you say, I'm a child of God? There's no doubt about it. Let me see your hand. If you say, bless God, I know I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood. I know I'm heaven bound. Not every hand could go up, but most hands could go up. Well, there are faith tests. And we're going to see that in a moment. But then finally, there's forgiveness that is turned or tried and triumphant. Forgiveness. Not only their family troubles, and not only is there financial trials and faith tests, but there is this forgiveness that triumphs. We'll see that in a moment. Number one, follow with me. If you'll obey the Lord, I'm assuring you God is going to speak to your heart. Number one, there are family troubles. We all have family troubles. And there are two parts to what I want to say under family troubles. Here they are. Number one, we've got to learn to just let go of people. If you agree with me, say amen. I said we got to learn to let go of people. Hello. We got to learn to let go of people, number one. But number two, we've got to hold on to God's promises and the power of prayer. Amen and amen. Number one, we've got to learn to let go of people, and we have a hard time doing that, beloved. We really do. We have a hard time of letting go. Now the Bible says here, the Lord Jesus is talking about this particular scenario. He said there's a certain father that has two sons. He could easily have two daughters, but in this case, he said two sons. And the father comes home. He says there's a certain father that has two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portions of good that fall to me. And the Bible says he divided unto his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together that he had, and he took in his journey into a far country. We all have family troubles. All of us have family troubles. Can you see the father? Now, for a moment, imagine how that father must have felt. Here is his son, the one in whom he had loved all those years. Any parent can relate to what I'm talking about. He had loved that son. He had poured his life into that son. He had been there for his son. He had prayed for his son. He had what was best, that is, his son's best interest. So here is the picture. That father has a son. And he's got some troubles. He's obviously got some troubles. Now, if we were to fast forward, we would use a 21st century version of what the Lord is saying here. What do I mean by that? Here's a daddy comes home from work. Maybe he's got a CDs in the bank. Maybe he's got an IRA account. He might have some kind of 401k plan. I'm not sure what he has. But in 21st century, here's a father that comes home. And his son says to him, he says, Dad, he says, I want to be on my own. I'm just really ready to do my own thing. I'm tired of being told what to do, and I just want you to give me what's mine right now. Give me my inheritance. Now, the older son probably received 2/3, we're told, in Jewish custom, but the younger son maybe 1/3. Nonetheless, can you see the daddy? I can see him with my mind's eye right now as he begins to get his inheritance, and maybe it was a CD that he had to cash in. I'm not really sure, but I can almost see that father, and any father can relate. I can see him as he gets ready to hand that boy the money. He's looking at that son, and he's thinking in his mind, I wonder how he's going to spend it. Son, I really got your best interest in mind, and it's really not the best thing for you to take all this money at this time. I'm not sure you got the right attitude, and I really would rather you wait for a little while, and I really have been praying for you. But nonetheless, the daddy goes ahead and gives his son what is his. Bottom line is, he let the line out. How many know it's hard to let the line out? Come on, talk to me. It's hard to let the line out. And some of us today, we're having a difficult time letting the line out. It's hard to let the line out, especially when you know that someone is not responsible or someone is not able to do what you know that needs to be done with what you entrust them. But can I tell you, we've just got to learn to let the line out. We can't control people, and we've got to put them in the hands of the Lord. There's some of us today, we're having a hard time with that, and we just need to say, oh God, help me to let go, let the line out. Now, I'm not talking about little children when they're, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, but as they grow up, any parent knows, or any grandparent knows, when they hit those ages of teenage and beyond, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, and young adult age, there's a sense of releasing. They're flapping their wings. They're wanting to get out of the nest. And the fact is, we all have to learn to grow. Amen. We all have to learn sometimes the hard way. Can I get an amen in the house of God? We all have to learn. But it's so difficult for us to let the line out. Now that leads us to let the line out. But hold on. I'm glad to tell you, when we let the line out, we're not letting go completely. We're hanging on to God. Y'all aren't with me. I'm at the wrong church. I said when we let them out, we still got God's promises. We still got God's peace. We still got God's presence. We still got the power of prayer. We can let them out, but thank God, God's got a hold of them. God's got a hold of them. And that blesses our heart to know that though we have to come out of our comfort zone and release people in the hands, our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, our wives, we've got to release them in the hands, our grandparents, I mean our brothers and sisters, we've got to let them go. But oh, praise God, there's God's presence to sustain us when we have to do what we really don't want to do. I said there's God's peace that passes understanding. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about peace that passes understanding. I'm talking about joy, unspeakable, full of glory. And there's some of you today, you're going through some stuff right now, and you really would like to be in control, but you're not in control, and you're having to let the line out, and God's saying to you, trust me, child, I'll pull you through. God says he's going to do it. He's a covenant keeping God. Oh yes, he is. Will thou not keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusted in thee. Trust in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah he's everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:3-4. Oh yes. Fear thou not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so we're struggling with that today. I understand that. There's family troubles. Now I got good news and I got bad news concerning this family troubles. And speaking of bad news and good news, it's kind of like the man, the farmer that went to the bank. Have you heard it? Farmer went to the bank. He said to the banker, he said, man, I got bad news, I got good news. The banker said, tell me what kind of news you got. Farmer said, I got bad news. He said, all right, what is it? He said, man, we've had an economic turndown. The prices are going sky high. I can't pay anything on my land, nothing on my farm. And the banker said, oh man, that's bad news. The farmer said, it gets worse. All that money I borrowed to buy for seeds and fertilizers and all the things that it takes to my equipment and my truck and my tractors and all that, I can't pay anything on that at all. The banker said, please stop telling me all this bad news. The banker said, tell me the good news. And the farmer with a smile on his face looked at him and said, the good news is I still want to bank with you. I've got good news, I've got bad news. I got good news, I got bad news. Hear me now. The bad news, hear me, see if you agree with me. Hear me, here's the bad news. Come on now, you're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to swallow your pride. You're going to have to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. You're going to have to get real with God and stop playing games with God. The bad news is this. Sometimes we don't want to let the line out because we don't want to see our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones mess up. We want to spare them. Well, we say, I'd had it hard when I was coming along, and I'm going to make it easy for them. How many ever thought that? Don't raise your hand. You know what? That's really doing injustice. Come on, talk to me. It really is. It really is. I know we mean well. I know we want what's best for our children and grandchildren, but really, we've got to let the line out. Why? We want to keep them from harm, and we want to keep them from making bad decisions that'll scar them and mar them. Y'all listen to me. I know you're right there. I know you're wrestling with this thing. I know you're having difficulty with this thing. But the bad news is, you ready for this? They're going to mess up. I can't hear you. I know you don't want to accept that, but guess what? You messed up and I've messed up. That's right. You haven't been perfect. You messed up. I've messed up. Is there anybody here that's not messed up? Let me see your hand. Praise God, there's not a single person here. We've all messed up. And they're going to mess up. But wait a minute, that's the bad news. And oftentimes we won't let go. We won't turn them loose. We won't put them on the altar because we want to control. We want to control. And I'm not saying we don't have, that we have good intentions and all that kind of stuff. But inevitably, if we're not careful, we can keep them from maturing and becoming responsible by making all the decisions for them. I can't hear you. Oh yeah, we have to let the line out at times. I'm not taking at times as they get older and when they become more responsible. But if we don't, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Don't miss that. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. There's a relationship there, but it just comes a time in every young man and every young woman that they're flapping their wings like a little bird that wants to fly out of the nest, and we've got to let the line out. Mamas, go ahead and let it out. Daddies, go ahead and let it out. I know it's a step of faith. I know you really don't want to. I know you're concerned about what may happen to your loved one, but wait a minute. There's a thing called wisdom that God imparts to us. When we mess up, and sometimes we do mess up, we make not the best decisions, but hey, watch this. It's through the mess ups, and hopefully wisdom is imparted and learned, and consequently character is built and responsibility is assumed. I'm not saying this quickly now, beloved, but I've seen some parents, and God knows I've been there too, and husbands and wives too, some parents that did everything for the children and grandchildren. I mean, they did the homework for them. They did everything. I mean, everything. And the end result was when the child got ready to grow and to get on their own, they couldn't function in society. They didn't know how. They were insecure. And oftentimes, wait a minute, I'm fixing to hit a nerve here. Oftentimes, it's our own insecurity that keeps us from letting the line out. You know what the bottom line is? Sometimes we're afraid of what it'll make us look like when they mess up. It's not really the relationship, our love for them. It makes us look. Can I get an amen? Y'all know where I'm hitting a nerve right now. I know I am. But this is the honest truth, and God wants to set us free today. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to be insecure, praise God. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding in all of our ways, he said. Acknowledge him. He will direct our path. He is an all-knowing God. That is, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. I mean, if he died on a cross and he rose again, and he did, and if he's coming again, surely I can not only trust him, forgive my sin, I can trust him with my family. Family troubles. Now, the good news is that they mature and they grow, and oh my. Sometimes husbands and wives, I've seen this inevitably through the last number of years, Sometimes husbands and wives try to control each other, and they won't allow one or the other to become the man of God or the woman of God that God's called them to be. Because of insecurities and because of wanting to be under our apron string or under our thumb all the time, I want you to be here, and I don't want you to, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. We've got to learn to let the line out. I got a call not long ago. Matter of fact, it was this week from a man. It told me, he said, I've been praying with him about his relationship with his wife. He's not a member of the church here, but anyway, he's a friend. And so we've been praying about that thing. And bottom line is he's struggling with some stuff we're talking about even today. And the Lord moved my heart to share with him. Hey, listen, man, let the line out. Trust God. Believe God. Watch God. God can close doors. God can open doors. God can move mountains. He can do what we can't do. He can heal hearts. He can bring people around. In fact, he's got to be the one to do it. I can't do it. Matter of fact, I just get in his way. But I ask him to trust the Lord. Let's pray about this thing. You know what he did? He called me this week. And he said, Brother Randy, I just want to let you know, God's at work. I said, I know he's at work. He's always at work, amen. He don't take a vacation. And then he began to tell me what God was doing in his own relationship. How the Lord, watch this, the Lord was taking things away. You see, when we target a person, and today when you pray, I said today when you pray, I said today when you get a hold of God, I say today when you lay that loved one on the altar, then God, in his providential will, begins to do some things we can't do. He begins to orchestrate circumstances because he's a good God. Amen and amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, wait a minute. Number one, family troubles. Number two, there's financial trials. There was a certain man that had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portions of good that fall to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together that was his and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all, there rose a mighty famine of land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And you know the story. He sent him into his fields. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. Financial trials. How many know that pleasure will burn a hole in your pocket? The daddy gives the boy the money, probably knowing good and well that he's not going to use it wisely. There are two thoughts I want to share with you under this heading of financial trials. Here they are. Number one, we have been entrusted by the Lord. We have been given a certain amount of resources by our God. Do you agree with me? You and I have been given. God has entrusted you and me with certain resources, whether that's time, talents, treasures, or thinking, it doesn't matter, or things, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is we've been given and trusted. But number two, we are to be good managers of what God has entrusted us. You agree with me? I said we're to be good managers. Stewards, as one prayed earlier, Brother Richard prayed earlier, 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Moreover, is it found for a man to be faithful, be a good steward? That is, we've been given certain things. We've been given certain resources. I'm not just talking about the air and the land and the trees, although that's included as well. But I'm talking about we've been entrusted. financial trials. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here that's been able to figure out the stock market? Let me see your hand. The stock market, S-T-O-C-K, stock market. Can I tell you something? The closest I've been able to find to how to figure out the stock market is a story about a man that went to a village, and the village was overrun with monkeys. There were monkeys all over the place. And so the businessman said, I tell you what, to the villagers, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $10 for every monkey you bring to me. He built a great big cage. The villagers began to catch the monkeys, $10 apiece. He gave them $10. Finally, the monkeys began to diminish. There weren't quite as many monkeys. He said, I tell you what I'll do, I'll give you $25 for every monkey you catch. After a lot of monkeys had already been caught. So the villagers went out and they began to catch more monkeys. And the man gave them $25. He put the monkeys in the cage. And then finally there were very few monkeys to be found anywhere. The man said, I'll give you $50. $50 if you catch a monkey. They couldn't catch any. The businessman said, all right, I'm going to take a journey to town. I'm going to put my assistant in charge. And so the assistant came on the scene, knowing that the boss man had said, the businessman, I'll give you $50 to catch a monkey. The cage was full. And the assistant to the boss man said this to the villagers, I tell you what I'll do. I will give you $35. Or rather, he said this way, not 35. He said, I tell you what, you give me $35 for the monkey out of the cage, and when the boss man comes back, he'll give you $50 for the monkey. Y'all mathematicians, y'all with me? Say amen. All right. And so the villager said, sound like a good deal to me? Guess what? The boss man left and never showed up, and the assistant gave all those villagers $35 apiece. They handed the assistant $35. He gave them all the monkeys. And guess what? The boss man never showed up. And guess what? The assistant left too with a village full of monkeys. I just described to you the stock market. Hello. I'm not saying there are monkeys running it, but I'm saying there's monkeys behind it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But God said we're to be good stewards of what He's given us. I want you to know, listen to me, beloved. You know what our problem is? You know what our problem is? Here's our problem. We've been given and trusted with resources and things. You know what our problem is? Hey, look at this, see if you agree with me. Our problem is, I want his truck. I like his truck. I want it. No, I'm not sure I want his truck. It's a company truck. I want his truck. I want his truck. Amen? And you know what else I want? I would really like to have... Who in here has a swimming pool? Let me see your hand. Nobody. Who in here has a lake? Let me see your hand. I want their lake. Our problem is God's given us certain things, and we want what? I'll tell you what I want. I want his bank account. Never mind. I don't want his bank account. I'll tell you whose bank account I want. I want his bank account. I want John's bank account. Can I get an amen? How many believe Brother John's got a little bank account? But here's our problem. Our problem is we want what's not ours. We want what's not ours. The Father gave a son and trusted him with a certain amount of resources, and we're to be required to be good stewards of what? I want you to know. Listen to me, beloved. Hear me now. Hear me when I say this. I want you to know our trust. Some of us have faced some hard times. Matter of fact, I don't recall. Maybe some of you that are a little older can remember back in the early 20s, maybe so. But I can't think of a time when so many people are struggling so much when it comes to paying bills and having some issues and being able to make ends. I can't think of a time. Can you? Come on, talk to me. Can you think of a time when they've been struggling? Now, some of you that are older, you've got nest egg. Amen. I want your nest egg. Amen. But anyway, no, really, in all seriousness, but
But I want you to know, beloved, no, hear me, no matter what we face, our trust is not in Washington, our trust is not in Republicans, our trust is not in Democrats, our trust is not in Capitol Hill, our trust is in the hill of the Lord, our trust is in the Word of God, our trust is in the Rock of Ages, our trust is in God. He's going to see us through no matter what we face. He's going to see us through. Yes, He is. My God said He'd do it. He said He'd do it. And I want to take it a step further. Not only that, but I might be, beloved, see if you agree, I might be taking away some things might be taken away from us. We might have to downsize here, let this go and do this. But hear me, see if you agree with me, but still, all in all, no matter what we have to get rid of, no matter what we have to part with, we are still blessed beyond measure. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. God has been good to us. The Lord has sure been good to us. And you know what? While we're to pray for our president and administration to set the record straight, they might take away our lands. They might take away our houses. They might take away our vehicles. They might take away our guns. They might try to take away our inheritances. They might even try and do take away our freedoms. But I want you to know, beloved, there's something they can't take away, and that's Jesus in our heart, and that's a home in heaven. Please God, there's some things they can't take away from us, and we ought to bless the Lord. Amen, and amen, and amen, and glory. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad that one day we're going to get to that place, the city that lies four square. One day, no more bills, no more light bills, no more phone bills. And thank God we're going to have a new body one day. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. They can't take away that mansion in glory. Hallelujah. Nor can they take away Jesus in my heart. That ought to bless you, brother. That ought to bless you, sister. And so God help us to be good stewards. And then we come from family troubles, financial trials. Thirdly, faith test. Faith test. And Peter wrote and said, knowing the testing of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. A faith that's not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Watch this. Don't miss it. Can you see the daddy right now? Look at him. I love it. I love it. That daddy, he's not doubting. He's not depressed. He's not discouraged. He's not down in the dumps. He could have been. How many parents here? How many grandparents here? How many relatives here that have gotten discouraged and down in the dumps because you've had to let the line out and things aren't going just the way you'd like them to go, and consequently you've gotten depressed? You know what I'm talking about. Down! You know what I'm talking about! That daddy could have been that way, but you know what? Listen to me, child of God. That daddy, I believe with all my heart, that father was full of faith. I said that father was full of faith. And here's the key. I got a big problem. He's got a big problem. You got a big problem. But our God's bigger than the problem. He's bigger than the problem you face, if your God is the same God of the Bible. He is bigger than any problem you face. That daddy wasn't looking at his problem. He was looking to God. He was trusting in the Lord. He was saying, I can't see it right now. I can't see that loved one of mine. Watch this. Don't miss it. This is for somebody. This is for somebody. He said, I can't see him coming back home with my eye. But I can see him in my heart coming back home. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that daddy said, I can't figure it all out, but I'm hanging on, I'm believing, I'm trusting in my God. Faith is going to be tested. That leads us to the last need. Family troubles, financial trials. Faith test. Finally, forgiveness tried and triumphed. Forgiveness tried and triumphed. The Bible says, Jesus spoke and said, that boy, he took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance with riotous living. He blew it. Man, he just blew it. Nobody moved. He blew it. Wasted. The word wasted, and during that custom and time, they understood what the word meant. It was like tossing grain up in the air in the cool of the evening, like fall. The wind would blow the chaff away, and the grain would fall to the earth. Blew it away. The boy wasted his substance, blew it with riotous living. And when he spent all, there rose a mighty famine of the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined. The Bible says, Jesus said he went and joined. And literally that's the picture of gluing two pieces of paper together. He went and, how many know you can have some fair weather friends when things are going good and you got money in your pocket, but they'll abandon you when you're going through hard times, amen? But I want you to know there's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. Everybody needs a friend like Jesus. He'll be with you. Good times, bad times, mountain in the valley. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He spent all. There rose a mighty famine of land. He began to be in want. He was hungry. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. I kept the bigger bills in my pocket, amen. They were just $1 bills. But he sent him into his fields to feed pigs. A Jew? Not with a 10-foot pole. Unclean, unclean, unclean. And the Word of God says he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. Watch him now. Look at him. Can you see him? He was living it up one time. Not anymore. I can almost see him in my mind's eye with that slop bucket. How many have ever fed hogs? Let me see your hand. Isn't that a clean job, amen? I can see him with that old slop bucket in his hand. And he's hungry. His stomach's growling. I can see him with that slop bucket, throw that bucket down, say, why am I living like this? Why have I done what I've done? When he came to himself. It's a happy day when we come to ourselves. I could hear him say, Mama can cook some biscuits. Man, they'll melt in your mouth and not in your hand, amen? Mama can cook some biscuits. Mama, I can smell those biscuits. Butter on them. Man, I could be at home at my father's table. Why am I out here in the hog pen? I'm going to get out of this place. And there he goes. I know I'm accepted in my father's house. I know I'm loved over there. I've got to get back home. I've got to get back home. I've got to get back home. There are two thoughts about this thing of forgiveness. One, receiving. Two, giving. One, receiving. Two, giving. How many have ever received God's forgiveness? Let me see your hand one more time. How many have exercised giving and forgiving? Not easy. It takes grace. Amen. But here is that Father. I've often thought about that Father. He was a wise Father. How many of us would have gone and got that boy by the nape of the neck and said, "Son, it's time to come home"? Or, furthermore, how many of us, when that boy got ready to come home, the Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, "I'll arise and go to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, no more worthy, but call thy son, make me as one of thy hired servants.'" And he arose. He didn't just stay there and think about it. He didn't say, "Oh, I need to change my life. And I was out visiting yesterday and talking with people, and they said, 'Yeah, I need to start coming to church,' and this, that, and the other." He didn't just talk about it, praise God. He arose. Repentance. He had a turn, a change of heart in his heart. God did it. He said, "I'll go back to my father." And you know what I would have done? Probably what you would have done, most of us. The Bible says when he was a great way off, his father saw him. He didn't have time to take a shower. He didn't have time to brush his hair. Hello. You know what I'd have done and what you'd probably done when that boy started coming home? "I told you so. You should have listened to me. I told you we were going to go heading that way." That's what probably most of us. Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Come on, talk to me. "I told you that daddy didn't do it. That daddy ran." He ran. Can you see him in your mind? "That's my boy." "That's my child." I believe that daddy was so, watch this, overwhelmed with joy and overwhelmed how good God is. God was answering prayer. And that daddy said, "It doesn't matter what's happened. It don't matter what's happened. What matters is, God, you're at work, and I want to join you. I don't want to get in your way. I want to be in your will. And I want to join you." And he runs and he... The Bible says he kissed him. In the Greek, it means over and over again. He didn't run after him with his belt, amen. He didn't run after him scolding him. He said, "God," and the Bible says he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son gave a speech. "Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son." Quick! Celebrate! Get the best robe. Ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Not only that, but kill. Let's kill. Let's get that calf over there. Throw a party. Celebrate. I want you to know when somebody comes home, there ought to be a celebration. And in the house of God, we ought to celebrate when one sinner comes. Whether the illustration of the boy means he's lost or saved, it doesn't matter. The fact is, he came home. Amen and amen. Now watch this. I'll close with this story. There was a boy, a young man, committed a crime, and he had to serve time in jail for his crime, 7 years. And while he was in jail, he wrote his parents, and he said, "Mom, Daddy, I'm sorry for what I've done. Will you forgive me?" The daddy couldn't find it in his heart. The daddy couldn't find it in his heart to forgive. He was so crushed. He was so hurt. I'm looking at some daddies and mamas that have been hurt and crushed by disappointment. He was so hurt. He would not even answer the letters of his son. And finally, after 7 years of making things right, he said, "I'm going to go back home." He wrote his mama a letter and he said, "Mama, I don't know if you and Daddy can find it in your heart to forgive me. But," he said, "I want to come home." He said, "I'm going to call a taxi cab and I'm going to come home." He said, "Mama, if you can find it in your heart to forgive me, get a handkerchief and tie it around that limb on that tree in the front yard. And as I'm riding by, if I see the handkerchief, I'll stop. But if I don't see it, I'll ride on past. I'll understand." And so he got in the cab, heading home, not knowing what would be the result. And as they were rounding that curve close to the home place, the son said, "I can't bear to look. I don't know if Mom and Daddy are going to forgive me." He said, "I can't look to the cab driver." He said, "Would you please, you look for me." And so the boy closed his eyes and bowed his head. And as they got closer and closer to the home place, the boy said to the cab driver, the young man said, "Do you see a handkerchief in the tree?" And the cab driver said, "No, I don't." And the boy's heart was crushed. The cab driver said, "Wait a minute. I don't see just one handkerchief. I see hundreds of handkerchiefs hanging on every limb in the tree and on the fence and all up the porch." The boy said, "Stop, stop. I'm forgiven. I'm going home." I wonder, as you stand to your feet today,